My Peace, a Pentecost sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin.
It will look like suffering, like death, like the worst thing that could ever happen. But Jesus assures them, it is my peace, and I give it to you.
And for any size donation during the Easter season, we'll send you a CD of this sermon and a sermon preached by Todd on the first Pentecost. You can make a special Easter gift today at issuesetc.org. Thanks for keeping us in mind during the 50 days of Easter.
Why did you participate in the Gosnell blackout? The President of the United States could be asked about this, since he fought against protections for these children that were born alive when he was in the Illinois Senate.
The President is aware of this. The President does not and cannot take a position on an ongoing trial.
There's somebody singing the music, and nobody else is singing along. And Luther would look at that and probably just tap somebody on the shoulder and say, you know, I had the same problem with the Church of Rome.
This is Mark from Michigan, and I am a lawnmower listener. We love Issues, etc.
When I tell my wife, I'll do that in a little while, she usually knows what I mean. What I usually mean is, I don't want to talk about that right now. I'll do that later. And later could mean any time later. When you tell your kids, especially when they're little, that they have to wait a little while, it's hard for them to do that, even though that little while from your adult perspective may really just be a few moments. Jesus says to his disciples, in a little while, you will see me no longer. Now, he's speaking these words. They have, oddly enough, they have left the upper room. They are headed toward the Mount of Olives, and he continues to talk with his disciples. He continues to say all these things to them. And here we are in the Easter season, for some reason back on Monday, Thursday evening, I believe, in the text, John chapter 16. And we're going to stay there. That's where the church leaves us here. John chapter 16, beginning at verse 16, your sorrow will turn to joy, says Jesus. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live this Friday afternoon. It's the 19th of April. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Our Pastor's Roundtable for the first 45 minutes of the program on this Friday afternoon. We'll end off this first hour talking with Dr. Robert Kolb about Martin Luther's pastor and confessor, Johannes Bugenhagen. Then we will go back to probably one of the most active times in Christian history. Anselm lived at the time of the Great Schism between East and West, or at least when it came to a head. One of the biggest theological controversies between East and West, he had a hand in it. Actually, kind of a peacemaking hand, and at the same time, in the place where he has most of his influence, we call today England, the Norman Conquest, which is kind of a big deal in England. And he lives through all of this, and he is considered perhaps one of the most important theologians, alongside Augustine and Aquinas and others, Anselm of Canterbury. He was the Archbishop of Canterbury for quite some time in the 11th century. We'll talk about him with Dr. Burnell Eckert. And then we're going to play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. We got four soundbites we'll play for you. And then you call, you email, you go to our Facebook fan page, and you pick Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-MY-IE. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our Twitter address, @issuesetc. And our Facebook fan page for questions and comments for our Pastor's Roundtable here in the first hour. We'll give away a copy of the Lutheran Study Bible to the listener with the best one. Facebook.com/issuesetc. And to vote for Issues Etc. soundbite of the week in the second hour, Facebook.com/issuesetc. Pastor Brian Holly is a regular guest. He's pastor of Messiah Lutheran Church in Lebanon, Illinois. He joins us here in the studio for our Pastor's Roundtable. Brian, welcome back.
Good afternoon. It's great to be here.
Pastor Charles Lehman is pastor of Grace Lutheran Church in Three Forks, Montana. Charles, welcome back.
Great to be here.
Brian, let's start with you. Jesus says, in a little while, and then the disciples will later wonder, what does he mean by a little while? What does Jesus mean when he says, in a little while you will see me no longer?
Yeah, there's no question. That is the first question in their mind. And again, reminding ourselves that this is Jesus on the night he was betrayed, on Monday, Thursday evening, if you will, the night before he is to be crucified. And he talks to them, and a little later in our text, it even says, look, for a time you're going to weep. there will be great bitterness, but then your sorrow will turn to joy. And so I think maybe the easiest answer is, hey, he's dealing with what's right in front of these men, his crucifixion, after which they won't see him, and then but a little time, and then, of course, they will see him on Easter, and especially Easter evening. But the disciples, a little later, put this little while, and they connect it with Jesus saying he's going to the Father. And oftentimes we think of him returning to the Father on his ascension, which is just a little while out. And then some time will pass before his followers see him in his bodily form. Yet he has promised that he will return. So I suspect that the way John tells the story and what Jesus was doing, and then later through the Holy Spirit in John, is inviting us to see this as, yes, something in the immediate future for the disciples, but also something even a little bit bigger than that, another period and another set of little whiles.
Let's, Brian mentioned the context there, but let's get some of that context. Where do we find ourselves in John's gospel here, Charles?
Well, interestingly enough, in John's Gospel, on Maundy Thursday, we don't have a meal that is actually called a Passover, but Jesus has just eaten a meal with his disciples in Jerusalem, and as you mentioned, they're on their way back to the Mount of Olives, so we're kind of between the institution of the Lord's Supper and our Lord's prayer in Gethsemane, and then his arrest. And we're going to be staying here in this section of the Gospel of John for the next several weeks. We start here with this discourse about a little while, and then we move backward through some discussions of our Lord's gift of the Holy Spirit to the church. And this is kind of the capstone, and we start here, and I think what Jesus is doing here is he's giving us a promise of the joy that the church will receive in the resurrection at the last day, and that is what the Spirit is going to be bringing the church to through the proclamation of the Word all the way from our Lord's ascension to the time of his return, and Jesus refers to that period as a little while.
Okay, can you answer this one for me, Brian? It's kind of confusing. We are in the Easter season. Someone might say, why aren't we in post-Easter stuff? We've had a little bit of that, but why are we back even before Jesus' crucifixion, albeit right before Jesus' crucifixion, in these readings in the Easter season?
Well, I think the easiest answer for that is the church is inviting us, I think, through this text to see that, hey, just as the disciples went through some tough times, it was nevertheless the promise of his return and the joy that they would experience in his returning where they were to look for their hope. And I think this is the church's way of just inviting all of her sons and daughters that as we wander through the wilderness of our world and sometimes get frustrated because our Lord's name is taken in vain, the story of our Lord is mocked and ridiculed, and those who follow Christ are mocked by culture and the world, there's a time of kind of sadness, and in a sense we miss him. But nevertheless, we, like the disciples should have and later did come to do, we cling to the glorious promise of his return and to the joy that will be forthcoming. And all of those who mocked, well, their supposed joy will then be turned to mourning, and Christ's followers will triumph.
So Charles, is it that the church, through appointing these readings during Easter, is saying, in essence, look, just like the angel did at the empty tomb, he told you all this. Just like he's promised the Holy Spirit's going to remind you of all this. Is that what the church is, in essence, doing here, reminding us of everything Jesus had said?
I think that's exactly it, because if you read through the entirety of, say, John 14 to to 16, what you'll see is Jesus is very aware of what's going to be happening over the next, 16 hours or so. And he knows the absolute misery that his disciples are going to be in. And so he gives them everything they need in terms of proclamation of the gospel and the giving of the Spirit and everything that's coming. He gives them what they need to be able to deal with what they are about to experience. And those same words of comfort that he gives to his disciples while they wait for the resurrection and then wait again after the ascension can give exactly the same sort of comfort to us as we live our lives of faith, where we don't see Jesus with our eyes, but we receive him through the word that his Spirit speaks through the Scriptures. And so we need what he gave the disciples on Maundy Thursday, and we need it right now.
And if I could, that little phrase that we sometimes use, a little while, sounds like you and I have used it in the same way. Honey, when are you going to do this? Well, in a little while. Well, what drives my wife crazy, and she often knows the difference. Sometimes when I say in a little while, I have a time in mind.
15 minutes.
I know when it's going to happen, and it may even be days. But she knows that it'll happen. There are other times when I use that phrase, and she knows darn good and well that I really have very little intent to ever do it, and the in a little while is just a way of putting off. And this whole notion of in a little while takes on, it's much different when you know that this little while is in fact a set period of time, and that something big will happen, and associated with that is great joy. It makes the little while bearable.
All right, when we come back, we'll continue with our Pastor's Roundtable. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Pastor Brian Holly and Pastor Charles Lehman are our guests.
What makes Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Freeburg, Illinois so special? Our new members talk about the family atmosphere, the welcoming people, and the outstanding music. But most importantly, you'll be confronted with your sin and comforted with the assurance that Jesus has removed that sin so that you can live each day as his baptized and forgiven child. Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church is at 612 North State Street in Freeburg, Illinois. Sunday worship is at 9 a.m., Sunday school and Bible classes at 10:20 a.m. Call 618-539-5664.
Islam, worship, feminism, pietism, postmodernism. You can meet and hear Issues Etc. regular guests discussing these topics at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 14th and 15th in Collinsville, Illinois. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Registration is $100 per person. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 14 and 15 in Collinsville, Illinois. issuesetc.org.
Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Does your church need a backup organist? The virtual organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
Pastor Todd, I downloaded your Issues Etc. app for my Android phone, and I listen to it while I'm on the treadmill.
You can listen to Issues Etc. live or on demand with the new Issues Etc. Android or iPhone app. You can download these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand. Download an app today.
My new Adam really enjoys the app while I'm on the treadmill.
With high delight, let us unite in songs of sweet jubilation. You pure in heart, each day your part, sing Jesus Christ our
The Concordia Seminary Chorus with the Easter hymn, With High Delight Let Us Unite. We're talking about John chapter 16, beginning at verse 16, Your Sorrow Will Be Turned to Joy. It's our pastor's roundtable. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. We're giving away a copy of the Lutheran Study Bible, and we do this on a weekly basis during our pastor's roundtable because this is the kind of resource we want to put into our listeners' hands. It has that kind of solid scholarship behind it that you can trust when you sit down with your Bible all by yourself and you have a question, you find a solid answer in the footnotes. And where it doesn't give an answer, it's probably a pretty good indication that Scripture does not speak clearly on the subject. And that's not what you get from most study Bibles. A lot of study Bibles will have their footnotes filled with opinions where Scripture does not clearly speak. Not so with the Lutheran Study Bible. Find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and order one for yourself. They have many different editions. 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Before we go on, because we're still really kind of in the little while section of this, Pastor Layman, it's not just that they're going to be waiting for Jesus. At least in the short term, they will be waiting for Jesus to rise from the dead, although they will not expect it to happen. But for us in the church, and you said this is also directed to us, we're not just waiting, we're also suffering, aren't we? I mean, the sorrow is not just that we do not see Jesus visibly, but that almost all the evidence in our lives as the church seems to indicate that we're doomed, that there is no hope in this world. Talk about that.
Yeah, I think that's a really important point because for the disciples, they did actually see Jesus with their eyes. I mean, there was just a little air between their eyes and his skin, and they were with him for 3 years. And sometimes it's tempting for us to think, well, they had it easy, you know, because they actually got to, you know, walk around Israel with him, talk to him all the time, and then, you know, he ascended into heaven. And so they had that benefit. Well, we don't. All we have is the word that the apostles have written and that the Holy Spirit has seen fit to deliver to us. And so we are living entirely by the promises that Christ makes to us in the Scripture, and it's on that basis that we have to live when we're suffering. And our sinful flesh doesn't want to be satisfied with that. Our sinful flesh wants to say, hey, this isn't fair. I want to be able to see Jesus and lay hands on Jesus and, you know, walk around Galilee with Jesus. And the comfort that is given here is for us because it's like Brian said when he was talking about the conversations that he has with his wife. When Jesus says, a little while and you will see me, it is as sure and certain as the ground that we're standing on and everything else that we know in this life. God's word is more certain than anything that we actually experience in a direct way. And so the comfort is that the suffering that we're experiencing will end, and at the end of it, we will see Christ face to face in a way even better than the apostles ever experienced.
Verse 16, a little while and you will see me no longer, again, a little while and you will see me. So some of the disciples said to one another, what is this that he says to us, a little while and you will not see me, and again, a little while you will see me. And then they say, because I am going to the Father. Now, that's not in the text there, Brian. That's up in verse 10, isn't it? What has Jesus said there?
Yeah, it comes a little bit earlier. And again, he's talking to the disciples. And as Charlie pointed out, he knows well what's coming in the next couple of hours. But you have his promise, because I go to the Father, and you shall see me no longer. He's beginning to teach them. And they don't get much of it at this point. And it's going to be after Easter and really not until Pentecost that they really begin to put all of the pieces together. And a little earlier, he talks about how this is beneficial that I go to my Father, because when I go to the Father, then the Spirit will come, and the Spirit will bring to your mind and teach you all of the things that I have told you, and how I am the fulfillment of all of the Old Testament scripture. So he is he's going to the Father, but you know, it's more than just Father. We remember from other texts that he suggests that I go to my Father and your Father. And that's a profound thing, that yes, when he departs, and so we don't see him the same way any longer, he has gone to be with his Father, to reign and rule all creation, from whence he will come again to judge, and he will return in glory. But even though we don't see him, the disciples won't see him in the same way, even after the crucifixion, when they see him on Easter, it's a bit different, and after the ascension, we will no longer see Christ in the same way, not bodily, not until he returns. Yet, a little while, the church sees Christ, sees with the eyes of faith. They see him in the Word, and I think, as importantly, they see him in the Holy Sacrament. And sometimes that's marvelous news to the ears of a Christian that, hey, you've been here today. You've seen Jesus, you've heard him forgive your sins, you've tasted his body and blood, now you're going to go out into the world, which is hostile to you, but in a little while, maybe a week, you'll see him yet again. And this is these are marvelous words of comfort.
There was a great quote that I stole from Pastor Bill Swirla. He was on the show some months ago, and he said something to the effect of, the eyes of faith, you always hear people talk about the eyes of faith. He says, the eye of faith is the ear. And talk about that, if you would, Charles, the fact that, and you've said it before, where is he? Where is he promised to be? In his Word. Mm-hmm. How is he truly, truly with us in both his humanity and his deity? In his Word. That's hearing, not seeing. Is that where we're at today as a church?
Absolutely. And I'm so glad that you asked that question, because as Brian was talking, I was remembering, probably about 10 years ago, it was Easter morning, sunrise service at St. Paul and Hamel, and this guy named Vicar Hawley got up into the pulpit and preached on the John 20 text for Easter sunrise. And he was talking about that wonderful moment when Jesus says Mary's name, and that is the first time that she recognizes him. And what Vicar Hawley said was that she saw him with her ears. And I have never, ever forgotten that. Best Easter sermon I ever heard. And the wonderful thing about that simple sentence, she saw him with her ears, is that this is the way that the church continues to see Jesus. We see Jesus with our ears, the Word of God, which the Holy Spirit has caused to be written and preached to us, and given into our ears and into our mouths. It's that Word that sustains us. So the wonderful thing about the way that the lectionary puts all this stuff together is you get these echoes of the Ascension all the way through the Easter season, starting on Easter morning at the break of day with the text that Brian alluded to and that you alluded to, I go to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. And then we get another little reprise of it here, and it happens again on the day of Ascension and on the Sunday afterward, this continual reminder that we do get to lay hands on Jesus, we do get to see him, but we do it all with our ears when the Word of God enters them.
Here's a question, Brian, from Rafe in Columbia, South Carolina, with about a minute to respond before our break. He asks, is the phrase, because I am going to the Father, the basis of the ecumenical creeds, he ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty? Is that one of the passages you would point to there?
It would be one of the passages. And here it's kind of repeated earlier from 10, but Charlie just mentioned the reference to I go to my Father, and in his house there are many rooms. And so there are a number of passages we would point to. But certainly Jesus Jesus goes, in a sense, and it's kind of seen as a return to his Father. Frankly, I think that's one of the cool way to read the book of Revelations, is the beginning of Revelation is kind of being a retelling of the ascension, only not from the perspective of the disciples down here looking up, but from the angels up above looking down and seeing Christ return to his throne, and what joy there must have been at that. But even though Jesus goes, he goes saying, I will be with you always. So he doesn't leave us as an orphan, and he goes to his Father for our benefit. He tells us that later, that when I go, that's for your benefit, because now the Spirit will come, and he will teach, and he will create and sustain the faith we need to see Jesus with our ears.
We're talking with our Pastor's Roundtable on this Thursday afternoon, the 19th of April. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. When we come back, we'll get to Jesus' answer to the question, what does he mean by in a little while? And it doesn't sound like good news, at least at first. We'll be right back.
Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, email, Google Plus. Simple ways that you can share Issues Etc. programs with your friends, relatives, and fellow parishioners. Just go to Listen on Demand Archives at issuesetc.org and look for the share feature images posted beneath each audio segment. You're only one click away from telling someone about Issues Etc. The Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org and look for Share This.
Do you have a student finishing up 8th grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Grace Lutheran, Tulsa, Oklahoma. Heritage Lutheran, Valparaiso, Indiana. Mount Olive Lutheran, Duluth, Minnesota. Our Savior's Lutheran, Windham, Minnesota. St. John's Lutheran, Algoma, Wisconsin. Our Savior Lutheran, Ridgecrest, California. St. Mary's Lutheran, Des Moines, Iowa. St. John Lutheran, Yuma, Colorado. Christ Lutheran, Kansas City, Missouri, and Redeemer Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues Etc. 300.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
If any former evangelicals are hearing me speak right now, I want to assure you, you don't have to be a homeless Christian. If you would go to issuesetc.org, look on their website, you'll find a list of churches. Find one close to you and attend that church. There, you can receive the true gospel, you don't have to be a homeless Christian, and they will not call you a backslider.
To find a church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.
Did you know that Logia, a journal of Lutheran theology, sells CDs and audio downloads of teachings by some of the top Lutheran theologians in the country? Check out Logia's 99-cent download of the month at shop.logia.org, shop.logia.org. You'll also find books published by Luther Academy and, of course, the quarterly Logia Journal at shop.logia.org. Continuing education for the confessional Lutheran, shop.logia.org.
Thank you.
stands one of the great Easter hymn, Joy to the Heart. We're talking with our pastor's roundtable for another 10 minutes here on Issues, Etc., about Jesus talking about that joy that's going to come. He says something odd. He says, your sorrow will be turned to joy. He didn't say your sorrow will be taken away. He says it will be turned, transformed into joy. By the way, folks, we got a joyous occasion coming up. Not as joyous as Easter, but pretty joyous nonetheless. 5-year anniversary of returning to the air. And we decided, well, let's celebrate it with our listeners face to face, a chance to meet them and for them to meet some of their favorite guests right here in Collinsville, Illinois, this coming summer, June the 14th and the 15th. We're having the Issues, Etc., Making the Case Conference, Friday, June the 14th, Saturday, June the 15th, right here in Collinsville, Illinois. Dr. Rod Rosenblatt will be there speaking. Pastor Will Whedon, Chris Rosebro, Suzanne Venker, Dr. Alvin Schmidt, and I'll be speaking there as well. 3 meals are included in the registration price for that 2-day conference of $100 per person, and you can register online, issuesetc.org. Look for the Making the Case Conference logo. Click on it, and you can get registration done that way, or you can call Craig right here in the studio, and he will help you. He just helped a couple people this afternoon register for the conference. 618-223-8385. Ask for Craig. 618-223-8385. The Issues, Etc., Making the Case Conference. Scott in Baltimore, Maryland has this question. He says, my question falls outside the scope of today's study, so it may not be appropriate to ask here, but here it goes. If we are talking about joy that we can readily stop at verse, then we can readily stop at verse 22 and not include the following verses 23 and 24. He asks, can we stop there? The disciples' hearts could rejoice at seeing and being seen by Christ for a moment, but that doesn't seem to be the source of the joy that no one will take away. Verses 23 and 24 provide a source of joy that is everlasting. And an answer to what Jesus really means when he says, I will see you again, it's not just, hey guys, I'm okay, don't be sad anymore. It's, I am back and everything has everlastingly changed on a cosmic level. This peace and this access to the Father through Christ is the source of the everlasting joy. Maybe it was a typo to stop at verse 22, but everything from 16 to 22 just seems prologue to verses 23 and 24. What do you think, Charles?
Well, I'm going to start just by reading verses 23 and 24. In that day you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, if you ask anything of the Father, he will give it to you in my name. Hitherto I have asked, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. I think that the answer is kind of yes and no. Certainly, the hope that we have in Christ's promise that he has given us access to the Father and that anything that we ask in his name we will receive is one of the things that gives us joy as we wait for him. But at the end of this pericope that we're looking at today, Jesus basically says that the joy is in the fact that we will see him again, and the reason why that joy will never be taken away from us is that when we see him again, we will see him again forever on the last day, the last day being the day that has no end, the eternal day that we live in the New Jerusalem with Jesus forever. As for it being a typo to end at verse 22 and not verse 24, I think that the reason why we end at verse 22 and not verse 24 is that there is another wonderful text about asking the Father in Jesus' name in the lectionary, where that's kind of the key part of the whole passage. And so I think the reason why it ends at verse 22 is probably simply that the church in its wisdom has decided that rejoicing in the Lord's name is something that is worth doing on a Sunday all by itself. So it doesn't get thrown into this pericope also.
So there's a certain economy in the way that, in the way the pericopes are put together, it sounds like. In verse 20, Brian, truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned to joy. Verse 21, when a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. So also, you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take that joy from you. A couple things here, Brian. We will weep and lament while at the very same time the world will rejoice.
Yeah, and I think that's important. It's not, well, this might happen and or the, this is an and sort of a thing. So the very thing that the disciples in a couple of days were going to weep and lament about, Jesus being put to death, the world would rejoice in. The unbelieving world was thrilled. Ah, we finally got rid of him. We're done with him. And even in our world today, when people mock God's story, when they talk about the Bible as being out of date or irrelevant or something to be ignored, we now know better. We're more enlightened than those foolish people back in the Dark Ages. That's a source of sadness. That breaks our heart to hear God's name used in that way and for people to speak disparaging of him. So they still rejoice. Yeah, right, like he's really coming back. And so we weep. That saddens us. We hate to see the world go into that really hot place in a handbasket at a rapid rate of speed. And we pray for the day that Jesus comes quickly. But in the meantime, we pray that the Holy Spirit turns as many hearts as possible so that many hearts may join us on the last day with great joy.
I love the analogy that Jesus employs. I think it's maybe even a little bit more than an analogy when he talks about childbirth being the church's anguish and joy at the same time. Talk about that, if you would, Charles.
Sure. I want to also just mention a possible different way to look at the world rejoicing. I think that Pastor Polly said it is certainly a legitimate possibility, but I think it could also be that the world's in on the secret. The world has seen the whole of salvation history in the Pentateuch. The hills and mountains are called as witnesses to all of God's promises, And I'm wondering if this might be the flip side of Romans 8, where Romans 8 talks about the world being in labor pains because of the sin that it's in bondage to, and that the world is waiting in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. So I wonder if the reason why the world's rejoicing is because it's seeing that Christ is coming to redeem all creation from sin and death. And so I think it ties in with the childbirth question. I remember when my daughter was born 2.5 years ago, it was a time of great agony for my wife for many, many hours, and I remember my hand being sore from how hard she squeezed it. But within a few seconds of the time that Elizabeth was born, there was no pain. There was nothing except the love that was radiating from her face for her daughter. And it really was an instant change. When we are with Christ for all eternity on the day of his reappearing, our sorrow will turn to joy, and it will be so joyful that it will be as if we have never experienced the sorrow in the first place.
Your final thoughts here, Brian.
Well, and I can't remember, and I don't have the Greek in front of me, but it seems like the word there that gets rendered remember actually in the Greek suggests a little bit more of kind of a willful, not, it's not like they forget. It's not like a woman, oh gosh, I forgot what it was like to go through that. No, it's because of the joy, because of this new life, because of this birth that they no longer remember the trouble. And I'm always reminded of, well, it was Paul, right? I consider that the present sufferings are not worth comparing, even mentioning, when compared to the future glory that will be revealed and that we will be a part of. And I think that echoes this verse very nicely.
Pastor Brian Holley is pastor of Messiah Lutheran Church in Lebanon, Illinois. Brian, it's great to have you here.
I enjoyed it. Always do, Todd.
Pastor Charles Lehman is pastor of Grace Lutheran Church in Three Forks, Montana. Charles, thank you very much for your time.
Great to be on.
Scott in Baltimore, if you would send us your mailing address, talkback@issuesetc.org, we will send you the Lutheran Study Bible. When we come back, we're going to round off this first hour of Issues, Etc., talking about someone very important in Martin Luther's life. Now, you may not have heard of him. You may even be a little bit surprised that Luther, the great reformer, also known as a great preacher and pastor himself, had a pastor. He had a confessor. And Johannes Bugenhagen wasn't just your average pastor. He was actually one of the primary movers and shakers in the Reformation, as well as a scholar himself, equal to that of Martin Luther. Quite a pastor. We'll talk about him with Dr. Robert Kolb to round off hour one of Issues, Etc. on this Friday afternoon.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues, Etc. 24/7? Check out our website, issuesetc.org, and go to the Listen On Demand page. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues, Etc. On Demand audio, available for your convenience at issuesetc.org. 10 hours of new programming each week. issuesetc.org, and click Listen On Demand.
Imagine steadfastlutherans.org as the internet version of your neighborhood pub. Your neighborhood confessional Lutheran pub, that is, where the finest in Lutheran conversation is going on at every table and at the bar, sometimes contentious, but always informative and unabashedly Lutheran. We're only serving Wittenberg Ale. We even have a guy named Norm, so check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.org. We'll save a seat at the bar for you.
All theology is Christology. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
It was the day after Christmas in 1538 when family and friends who were gathered around Luther's table heard him say, "There is no finer gift that a parent can give to a child than an education in the liberal arts." For over 100 years, St. Paul's Lutheran School in Brookfield, Illinois, has been emphasizing the six chief parts and the seven liberal arts, providing classical education in the Lutheran tradition. Visit our website at spbrookfield.org or call 708-485-0650.
When someone asks you, "What do you believe as a Christian?" how do you respond? Do you have a confession of faith? I've written an article in the latest Issues, Etc. journal titled, "I Believe." You can read it by subscribing to the Issues, Etc. journal. Just look for the subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Mark Hemingway answers the question, "Why Lutheranism?" with "Why not?" Subscribe to the online Issues, Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.